Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Matthew. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's move along, because there's some very important things that we do want to cover this morning. Not the least is unconditional love, that we're to have that kind of a relationship with the Lord, because that's what He has with us, and that's what we should try to display and have that relationship in Him with others. Greatness is that kind of love. Love is a powerful motivator. Humility is what it's all about. Not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of what God would want us to do. Verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Awesome. That's what we all hope for in every situation. Praise the Lord. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the whole church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, and basically they didn't have, their interaction was as limited as possible with the heathen and the tax collector. You know, they just didn't have a lot of interaction. Granted, this is Matthew writing. He was a tax collector. And yet he throws himself in with a lot. You know, let him be that to you. Now, let me finish reading this, and we got to talk about this. This is some very, very important things that we need to note. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. It seems that real relationships is a thing that he's starting to talk about. He talked about humility, first of all. Then he talked about really that kind of don't be a distraction. Don't be bumping people off course. Don't be doing that. But keep on course. Then he seems to go from there into this aspect of unconditional love, that type of relationship, unconditional love. And then it carries right over into dealing in those relationships, real relationships in the kingdom. Truth in relationships, I think, would be the way I'd kind of sum that. Truth. You know, just being able to have a truthful, open, honest relationship with one another. And this is also seemingly tied together because it's displayed by love and humility. That's how love and humility seem to display or seem to be the most important components in a healthy relationship, whether it be a marriage, a friendship, someone that you're getting to know in the body of Christ. You know, we should have it. Those things be love and humility, and then that aspect of truth. See, if we really love someone, we should be able to be truthful. I didn't want when my dad went, we went to the oncologist and sat there a number of years ago, and we sat there with the cancer specialist in their office, my sister and I and my dad, and we're sitting there, and, you know, I was interested. I wanted the truth. I don't want to hear, you know, fluffy, fanciful stories about it. I need to know the truth. How's this going to go down? What's the seriousness of it? And how long does he have? Is there anything that can be done? It was that simple. Those were the questions that needed to be answered. I didn't need a lot of icing on the cake on this one. I just need the facts. And I think that's what happens. The doctor needs to be truthful. I think true friendship is very important, and I think true friendship involves that. Iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of a man's friend, you know, that we sharpen one another. The Bible also says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody that really loves you is going to tell you something that's factual and truthful, but they're going to say it in love. Someone once said that truth without love is brutality. Truth without love is brutality, even if it's factual. Truth without love is brutality, even if it's factual. But Paul told us in the scriptures, speak the truth in love. So that we're to share the truth, but we're to share it out of the motivation of the heart of love. Edification always being at the core of that. I think it's not only speaking, but receiving in love from one another. This is what's kind of being described here. They go to that person, talk to them. I think there's something else in this that's important to note. When they talked about the correction that let him be like to you a heathen and a tax collector, you know, once it gets to that point, expose it to the church and let people know so that you are careful in your interaction, that you even kind of sever certain aspects of the relationship. But is it punitive? Is that the objective, to be judgmental? Boy, we miss it. We miss the heart of God. We miss the core of this. It's not to be punitive. It's to be something that is corrective. It is to be something that is ultimately leading to an opportunity for restoration. So it's not punishment, but it's an opportunity for restoration. What happens when something like this goes on and you're kind of set aside from something or something like that happens? You start to think, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe I'm off base with something. And it really takes some intense Bible study and heart prayer and really seeking the Lord to minister to us sometimes about these kind of things. I think the body of Christ, we would do well if we really practice these things. But I think the practice of these things needs to go on really in a prayerful setting. Because what he's describing here is that agreeing with one another, even in prayer, over the severity and the seriousness of matters that are going on. I'm not talking about gossip prayer sessions. I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm talking about the sincerity of a heartfelt concern, possibly, for me oftentimes, that leads to, honestly, a brokenness and a weeping over the condition and the concern. You know what? I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, and I don't forget that. That's the reality. And God sometimes allows us those quick reminders when all of a sudden somebody cuts you off on the interstate, bam, something flies out, or something, some other finger, I don't know what might happen to you, but some things can happen to some of us, you know? Some things can happen to some of us. And then there's some of us who maybe it doesn't quite fly out, maybe the fingers stay intact where they belong, but in our minds, we're thinking all of it. God knows all. I still got to confess, if all I did was just think, oh, you. God knows our hearts. And God sees, and then what? The childlike transparency comes to you. Oh, man, busted. Remember going to the dinner table and knowing that, oh, man, your friend's mom just called before dinner, and you were the one that shot him with the BB gun. And you didn't talk about it before dinner, and you're just about to take the first bite. And the phone rings, mom gets up and then comes to the phone looking at you, glaring, looks at dad, whispers something to dad while you're sitting at the table. It's like, you know what the phone call was, you know? There was no question mark. You know what went down. This is what's going on. The Lord knows. We know. So if God knows and we know, let's just be honest, transparent about it with the Lord. Let him love on us. Let us get into that place of restoration immediately. Jesus, in corrective matters, and this is something to mark down and note here, in corrective matters, he looks to you and me, and he wants to isolate and keep the fewest people possible. There's no glory, no joy for him in seeing people have to go through a bunch of suffering because of sin and issues in their lives. God is not get all excited about that. That's not something that he's all into. What he's into is restoration. He's into forgiveness. He's into reconciliation. That's what he's all about. And that's what we want to be all about. That's really what this message is about. It's not to be punitive, brothers and sisters. Get it out of your minds. We're not sitting judge, jury, and hanging. We're to be praying for one another. When we see something, we're to be praying. We're to be ministering. If God, I have had to do some awful, not awful, I've had to do some things that I don't like doing before. And this is long before I was, in ministry, as it were, so to speak. I've had to do some, you know, things that the Lord put on my heart to talk to people about matters and situations that the Holy Spirit made me aware of. I think we need to know, I wait until I'm really sure that the Lord's really ministered something to me. I think you got to be careful because it can get kind of weird. And you got to know what you're talking about and then talk to somebody, and it's one-on-one. Talk to Jesus first, then it's one-on-one. Then it's talked together to the Lord. And if that's it, that's it. It's done. Walk away. Done. If it's taken care of, people repent, you move on. How many times are you supposed to forgive? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the body, as the body of Christ, Jesus says also that we are to bind. and we are to loose. We are to bind and be in line as we're binding something in eternity, saying, man, we want to ask Jesus that by the power of the blood that you would restrain that which is causing an offense or a distraction or whatever it might be. We pray, we ask for that to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And then what do we ask to be loosed? This is in line. We've got to be getting the mind of Christ. We've got to be seeking the Lord. And then we're to loose what? Forgiveness, mercy, and restoration. This is how we really are supposed to be functioning, and there needs to be opportunity for that. I believe that Jesus really is in the midst of those decisions as we wait on him. And this, I believe, if you're wondering about real, true, effective ministry, I believe that's how it gets done. That's really how it gets done. We've got humility. We've got truth in the relationships. And now we approach this last portion here in verse 21 regarding forgiveness. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, obviously, Peter's thinking he's being quite generous in his thought here. That's a real open thing, that he's being really cool. And Jesus says, oh, I do not say to you up to seven times. But that was like the considered, ooh, wow, that's the full extent of awesome, cool forgiveness. And he says, no, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Woo! Same issue, 70 times seven. That's a lot of times. It's a lot of circumstances, isn't it? And therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. A lot of money. $1 million. Let's hypothetically, $1 million. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. So whatever they could sell his family and himself for, that would make restitution to the extent that he was able. And then the servant fell down before him saying, Master, have penance on me. Patience, forgive me, that kind of thing. And I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now, isn't that us? That's me. That's you. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, forgive me, man. Forgive me. You know who I am? You know what I'm all about? Forgive me, says. Done. But that servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, fractional, let's say 10 bucks. And he laid hands on him, and this wasn't to pray for him, and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. He's just been forgiven everything. This is, get into the mindset of this concept of forgiveness. He's been forgiven everything, and he knows his debt's been forgiven. And then, instead of just walking around free, enjoying the goodness of his master, and extending, hey, man, I've been blessed beyond belief. Don't worry about the 10 bucks, man. That's the least of the concerns now. I've been washed, I don't owe any. Oh, what a blessing that is. But that's not how he handled it. He says, pay me what you owe. And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. And he would not allow it, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, how's the debt going to get paid there? It's kind of an interesting thing. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came to them and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Forgiveness is a huge key to the Christian experience. Can't emphasize it enough. Can't overemphasize it enough. Can't spell it out any more clearly than what these verses have said. Forgiveness is so important. When I was 15 or 16 years old, my parents had chosen after 23 years of marriage to call it quits. They'd had enough of each other and they were done. I never even heard them argue probably but four or five times my whole life growing up. Seriously, I never And my brother and sister and I still to this day laugh about the certain times that it was. One time was over a Christmas tree at a Christmas tree farm. I mean, we have these certain days etched in our minds of big blowout arguments because there's a handful. There's so few. And yet, they're just calling it quits. And we remember the day we sat on the hearth together, the three of us, after church and listened to my mom and dad tell us. I got the news first, and then, unfortunately, I was the only kid left in the house. The other guys had gone to college. Wisely, I was not allowed, or I would have. Not gone to college, I just would have gone somewhere. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. Go to jail. Do not collect $200 was pretty much the way my route went. But theirs was different, and I was sitting there, you know, listening with my brother and sister. These things are etched in our minds. Well, there's a lot of things that go down in discord in a family situation, and a lot of bad feelings, a lot of things happen, and, you know, really got to make a long story short for time's sake, but I'll get the point out. After probably about 8 or 10 years of really having, my mom was real upset about all of it, and, you know, I just, for whatever reason, some of it kind of went my direction too, and I ended up just living with my dad through the rest of my high school years, and my mom just, you know, we really just didn't have any relationship. It just kind of terminated. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, I mean, it just terminated. And I was young and foolish and just figured, oh, well, that's the way you want it. Fair enough, you know, kind of a thing. And really harboring, though, definite unforgiveness inside myself. And 8 to 10 years transpired. By then, I had was married, had my first child. My mom had never really met my wife or known my wife, didn't know my first son that was born. This is shameful and disgusting. May I share that? And it's very painful for me to I don't like talking about it. But it's the truth. It's the truth. I'm going to speak the truth in love. And this is my reality. This is who I am, you know, apart from Jesus Christ. I wasn't following the Lord at this time. I wasn't walking with God. And to think that, you know, he was the first grandchild born. She's never seen him, never held him. It's wrong. That's what unforgiveness does, and it's wrong. When you harbor it, your harbor, I lived on Hawaii for a while, and there's a little harbor, Kahului Harbor, and these Matson hauling, you know, ships, you know, that would haul container ships would park there once in a while, and cruise ships would park there once in a while. Well, years ago, they used to let them, you know, just dump the sewage into the harbor. You know, they'd still process sewage while they were, you know, out at sea, one thing, but in a harbor, they'd still let them do it for a while. Well, that doesn't happen anymore, but we'd go out surfing every once in a while in the harbor, and anytime you get cut up, I got jacked real bad one time on the reef, and, you know, you're always going to get infected and everything, and the local guys, yeah, the harbor's bad, man, you get these infections, because the coral's all messed up, because it processes and takes in all the contaminants, you know, and what I'm saying is the harbor's polluted. Our hearts are like a harbor. Bitterness is the pollution. And you let bitterness get in there, you can't surf anymore. It's not very enjoyable. That's the point of that. It's just no good. It's no good is the point. It's no good. You let bitterness get in there, and it's no good. And I remember after I'd given my heart back to the Lord, hadn't straightened any of this out yet. And I'd given my heart back to the Lord, and I was following the Lord. And I remember my sister had come into town. And so we wanted to have my sister come over for dinner. And we'd called over to my mom, talked to my sister. And then I thought, gosh, that's kind of weird. You know, I wonder what mom's going to do. God had changed my heart and I never even knew it. God changed my heart and I didn't even know it. Well, it was just like a natural reaction. Well, and prior to that, the Lord had been speaking to my heart about forgiveness. Exactly this portion of Scripture. Exactly. Jim, I have forgiven you everything. And I know who I am, and God has forgiven me everything. Washed white, clean. I've embraced you with my love. You've got everlasting life. You know, all the good things. Are you going to withhold that relationship from your mom? No. Can't do it, God. I can't do it. And it was like almost simultaneously this other opportunity came up. But my immediate reaction was, well, gosh, I wonder what mom's going to do, you know? So I get a hold of my mom on the phone and invite her over for dinner. I have to this day never discussed this at all for any reason with my mom. Do you know why? Because it didn't matter who was at fault. I forgave. I didn't care. It didn't matter. Forgiveness doesn't keep the record. You move forward. It is the path that leads to reconciliation. Reconciliation, a relationship. We're heading for reconciliation. Forgiveness is that avenue that you can travel on to get there. But forgiveness means, I obviously haven't forgotten any of it, have I? But I don't pull it up to use as an accusation or a charge against anybody else. Forgiveness wipes the slate clean. My mom and I have had a wonderful relationship. All of my kids have enjoyed their grandma. And I watched my mom and dad, just before my dad died, hang out at the dinner table. He wasn't welcome at the house, but that day my mom invited him over. It was Easter. And it was just a few weeks before he died. I watched him reconcile. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is what it's about. If I could tell you anything, hear me, please. Let it go. You can tell I feel passionately about this. It's deep in my heart. Let it go. Let it go. You, if you don't, are held captive by the bitterness within your own heart because of unforgiveness. I can't tell you every story will end up like mine. I can't tell you that. God has been very, very gracious to Jim Stewart, and I'm eternally grateful. But I can tell you that you will be far ahead, whether that relationship ever ends up right exactly the way you'd like to see it. It doesn't matter. The point is you're not carrying any bitterness, and you aren't in this spot where you're held captive. You have to work at being disgusted with people continually. Be set free. That's what I'd give you today. Forgiveness sets you free. Because you know who you are and God forgave you. You can forgive others, and now you're set free to love people the way God intended for you to. That's His design. That's His desire.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, in the book of Acts, we learned a great little story. And I think about it sometimes when we wrap up a message like we did today, and how there's just a response that kind of stirs in us when we hear God's word. You know, there was a guy that was a Philippian jailer. He was just a jail guard, and he realized that the people that he was interacting with were worshiping God and connected with God. And his response when he interacted with these guys, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." You know, God's got a plan and a purpose not only for you, but for your family, for your household, for your friends. But it begins with you giving your life to Jesus and getting right with God. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life but never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you did give your life to Jesus, but you're not walking with Him. Either way, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel message, the good news that God loves you and has a purpose and plan for your life. Anyway, God loves you, and it's a simple prayer of faith. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, God will forgive you of your sin if you will confess your sin. He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Let's pray that prayer right now. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin, that you'd come into my heart and make my heart your home. I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for everlasting life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit that my life might please you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.